This lesson sets the stage for the developing story, the Bible story. There was an incredible story to tell. And in the first century, the events that took place regarding the death and the resurrection of Christ brought to light, brought to the forefront, the incredible message that there was to tell. It wasn't a new message. It had begun 4,000 years before in written history. It had begun earlier than that in the mind of God. But we take up the story with Jesus on the cross. That's our beginning point for this series. The Jews were anxious to get Jesus on the cross. The Sabbath, the eve of the Sabbath, was nigh upon them. And he hung on the cross and he died, as the story goes, that we have studied and we have seen before. There were some so saddened to know and see the death of Jesus. There were some who were his disciples who were close by. There were those like Joseph of Arimathea who gave his tomb to be used for the Son of God. There were those like Nicodemus, who was again a Jew and one who had asked Jesus questions in the past, who came and helping to prepare the body of Jesus for this burial. Nicodemus brought spices and perfume to be used, 100 pounds even, very richly brought these spices to be used to prepare the body of Christ. But there wasn't much time because the Sabbath was nigh. There were several of the women who saw Jesus as he was laying in the tomb. They were planning to come back and add more perfumes after the Sabbath. We try to think and try to imagine how empty they felt, how much they had lost. It wasn't just them. It was the other disciples and the apostles who seemed to just be completely confused as to the events that were taking place. And what were they going to do now? And again, we try to imagine how empty they felt. For some, they had been with Jesus for over 3 years. They had followed his every move. They'd listened to the lessons that he had taught. They had seen his signs and wonders and his miracles. They'd even heard Jesus speak of his resurrection. But somehow that seemed to be something that they did not fully understand. They did not fully comprehend. And now that Jesus was in the grave, they seemed to be lost. And they didn't know what to do. There were some that had heard Jesus say, "After 3 days, I will rise." And there were some who went to Pilate and said, "What if they take his body?" And so there were guards placed around the tomb. They called Jesus a deceiver. They called him an impostor. And the guards were to make sure that his disciples did not come and somehow snatch his body away. But then there was the resurrection, an event that would take place that no one would be able to really deny. And we're caused to stop and to think about the need of the resurrection and even what that means to us today. We've just remembered the death of Christ, as we should. Christians did that on the first day of the week, and we still do. And even as we think of Jesus and his death, we're reminded again of his resurrection. The fact that God raised him from the dead. The entire Bible story has been building toward this moment in time. The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And if we study through God's record, we can see the wickedness of man, that is, his propensity to sin. And we can see how God's plan comes together to save man. For man to be purified before God, atonement had to be made for sin. To stand right before God, he had always required a sacrifice of blood. Lambs were offered time and again. The blood of bulls and goats had proven to be, though insufficient, to take away the sins of man. And the blood of innocent lambs were offered time and time again and was still needed up to this point. Waiting for a more perfect sacrifice. A greater sacrifice was needed. And God knew that. And God knew the cost. God's love was so great that for his creation, that he sent his Son to be a sacrifice for the world. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Jesus said it himself in John chapter 3 and verse 16. And yet, to some, even, that Jesus had said those very words would be those who would reject him, those who would not listen to him, those who would not accept him as the Son of God, those who would not recognize even the significance of the sacrifice, some probably who would just reject the resurrection. But God declared Jesus to be the Son of God, and he did that in the most incredible way in the resurrection, which makes it undeniable that, in fact, Jesus was and is the Son of God. There is no greater proof that can be made. There is no greater proof that needs to be made. Because God, through prophecy, had foretold the coming of the Messiah, had foretold his purpose, his death, and even his resurrection. And now the story where we are taking up our study is at that point. All of these other events have taken place, and God has given us every reason to worship him as our Heavenly Father and to worship his resurrected Son, to rejoice and to celebrate that event. Every first day of the week, these are all thoughts that need to be in our mind. The resurrection. It's still just incredible to me to stop and try to picture in my mind the events surrounding the resurrection. And it's hard for us to do that. It's hard for us really to picture any event where we were not there. Sometimes, in fact, events that we were a part of in time grow dim in our mind. And yet this is one that we're reminded of often. Scripture tells us about, the gospel accounts all tell us about things about the life of Christ, his death, and or his resurrection. We try to imagine the Roman guard standing watch. We need to get a picture of this in our mind. Jesus, the Son of God, in the tomb. The guards that were standing watch, can you imagine what they were thinking and even what was on their mind, what they looked like at the time? Standing guard over a tomb? What were they thinking? What was Pilate thinking? What were the centurions thinking to put them in such a place? Guarding a tomb of all things. What do you expect going to happen? Someone's going to come from the tomb? Again, that wasn't really the concern. The concern is that somebody outside would come and snatch the body away. But I've tried to picture those guards doing what they were ordered to do. A mundane job, really, guarding this tomb. Several women came out to the tomb after the Sabbath. It's the first day of the week as the day begins. They've come to finish the burial because, recall, it was kind of in haste that Jesus was carried to the tomb because of the eve of the Sabbath. There are several passages we're going to look at in the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. I hope you'll take your Bibles. We're going to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew chapter 28, we begin at verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb, and behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door, and he sat on it. Verse 3. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow, and the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. You got a picture of that in your mind? Are you thinking about that? Can you imagine the earthquake? Can you imagine an angel descending from heaven? Can you imagine the brightness of the angel, even as lightning? His countenance shining bright. Can you imagine the angel moving the stone and sitting upon it? Can you imagine the expression of the guards as they see this event takes place? And then to come to realize that Jesus is not in the tomb. To come to realize that he is not there. On the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary and the other women went to the tomb to finish burying Jesus. And as they came along, they were worried about moving the stone, because the stone was large, and they were wondering, how are we going to do that? But that was not going to be the problem. In fact, that wasn't going to be a problem at all. In verse 5, we continue. And the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he is risen as he said. Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. He is risen from the dead, and indeed he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy, and they ran to bring his disciples the word. In this reading, in this text, is really the point of this lesson and the lessons that will come. It's not just about the resurrection. Well, the Bible story cannot be told without talking about the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. But what I want us to focus on in these lessons is what these ladies were told right here. To go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen. And that they departed quickly from the tomb and they ran to bring the disciples this word. The story that they had become familiar with, the events as they unfolded, the things that they had seen now before their eyes, was a story that had to be told. Was a story that some were waiting to hear. And it's with great excitement that they want to go and tell the disciples, he is risen. It's even as he said, he is risen. In Mark's account, in Mark chapter 16, he says much of the same thing, but in chapter 16 and verse 7, this point stands out. He says, "But go your way and tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you." Again, the idea here of go and tell his disciples and tell Peter. I'm not sure why Peter is singled out here. I find that kind of interesting. Go and tell the disciples these things. Go to Luke's account, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24, we're going to begin reading at verse 1. "And now on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they and certain other women with them came to the tomb bringing the spices which they had prepared, and they found the stone rolled away. And they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass that as they were greatly perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And they were afraid and bowed their faces to the earth. And they said to them, 'Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. He is risen. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and the third day rise again.' And they remembered his words." And so we read the text and we're reminded again of just what that Bible story is, the events as they were unfolding, and the disciples being reminded of some things that the Lord had said that somehow was just not in their mind until now. Even that Jesus said that he would be crucified and again on the third day he would be raised. Now they know. Now it's evident. Now it's undeniable. And verse 9 says, "And they returned from the tomb and they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest." Sure they did. They had some things to tell. This was a story unlike any story that could be told before. And it concerned the one that meant the world to them. It concerned the one that they had walked with, that they had loved, that they had been with, that they had listened to, that they had watched. They knew Jesus, the Son of God. And they were perplexed at how the story ended. But it wasn't an ending at all. It was the beginning. The story really was just beginning in view of what was to be told and how the story would affect man from then and until the end of this time. The scene at the tomb here was just incredible. And I keep trying to play it over and over in my mind so it'll be impressed with me there. the angels who met the women, the stone that was rolled out of the way, the women being frightened and bowing to the angels and being told he is not here, he is risen, and being reminded again of his words that he would be crucified and on the third day rise again. And we're reminded of Matthew's account where it said, go quickly and tell the disciples that he is risen. And they ran with fear and joy, that text said. You recall that? That they ran with fear and joy. And I've tried to think about that and understand fear and joy. It seems like we sometimes are filled with fear, or we are filled with joy. But both. But try to think about the circumstances. I mean, they've been in the presence of the Son of God. They have walked with him, and now that's becoming even more evident, because who else could have been raised from the dead? God the Father had raised his Son. And now it's even more evident with whom they have been walking. They've been in the presence of these angels of God. They've seen incredible events that have taken place. They had bowed before the angels. Can't you imagine how they bowed? And so it's with fear that they see these things in amazement and great joy, knowing that the things that Jesus has said before regarding being raised on the third day is true. It's right. It's happened. It's now taken place. And they said these things to no one else, the text would say, in Matthew's account. I find that kind of interesting. When they ran from the tomb in that way, what would they say? And who would even believe at this point? And so they were told to go tell the disciples and to tell Peter and to tell the 11. Because these would be the ones who would listen. These were the ones who were hurting because of the loss of Christ. At this point in time, these are the ones that would listen. Other than that, who would believe? Well, in fact, even some of the disciples would have some difficulties believing, wouldn't they? Going back to Matthew's account once again. Matthew chapter 28. Jesus appeared to the other women as they hurried away from the tomb. Verse 9. And as they went to tell his disciples, Jesus met them and he said, joy to you. And they came and they held him by his feet and they worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, do not be afraid. Go, tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see. They worshiped him. Can't you imagine how they worshiped him? And they bowed down and they took his feet. And the words of Jesus telling them to go and tell the others in Galilee. There was a story to be told. There was a message that the disciples needed to hear. There was this reaffirmation of the fact that indeed Jesus was the Son of God. And that Satan, through death, could not take him down. God raised him up. And this was the message to be told far and wide. Peter and John ran to the tomb. I've tried to get a picture of this in my mind. When they got the word, when they became aware of what has happened and what is taking place. Imagine the excitement again. Again, keeping in mind what they've been told. Go quickly, tell the disciples, Matthew wrote. Then she, Mary, speaking of in John's account, ran to Simon Peter. I wonder if Simon was the first one. Peter, was that the first one that Mary told? We know that Peter had a very special relationship with Jesus. Oh, but it wasn't just Peter. What about John, the disciple whom he loved? And we try to imagine the excitement when they came to the disciples who were there together. The joy and maybe even the confusion of this news. They still didn't have a grasp of what was happening. It was still hard to understand. It was still hard to really get a hold of. In Luke's account, Luke chapter 24, we start reading again at verse 9. And they returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11 and to the rest. It was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary, the mother of James, and the other women who were with them who told these things to the apostles. I wonder who did the talking. You ever try to think about that? I mean, all of these had seen the event, the angels, and the stone that was rolled, and the empty grave. Did they take turns talking? Were they all trying to talk at one time? You're not going to believe what's happened. You're not going to believe what we have seen. The grave, it's empty. And what this scene was like, I can only imagine. Verse 11, and their words seemed to them like idle tales, and they did not believe them. Really? The disciples didn't always believe? Oh, that's not a new story for us. Because sometimes even the disciples of Christ struggled to listen and to believe. Hold your finger right here. Go to John chapter 20. John chapter 20, beginning at verse 2. Speaking of Mary, then she ran, came to Simon Peter and to the other disciples, or to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Peter therefore went out, and the other disciple, and came to the tomb. So they both ran together, and the other disciple outran Peter, and came to the tomb first. And he, stooping down and looking in, saw the linen clothes lying there, yet he did not go in. It's kind of an interesting picture in my mind. It was Peter and John that left the crowd, it seems, first, to run to the tomb. They had to see this themselves. Peter, the one who, at the very end of the life of Jesus, denied him three times. And I can still imagine the look of Jesus. When Peter denied him the third time, Peter knew what he had done when the cock crowed the third time. And he looked up and Jesus looked at him. And then there was John. The John who is described oft as the disciple whom Jesus loved. And so Peter and John now have left the group and they run to the tomb. And John's faster than Peter, it seems. And he gets there first and he looks in. But he doesn't go inside. Would you? I mean, you think about that for a minute. Would you go in? And then it's Peter, who is still Peter, who I can only imagine says, get out of the way. And he goes in the tomb. That's what it says. Peter goes in the tomb. Simon Peter came following him and went into the tomb, and he saw the linen clothes lying there, verse 7, and the handkerchief that had been around his head, not lying with the linen clothes, but folded together in a place by itself. Then the other disciple who came first to the tomb went in, and he saw, and he believed. For as yet they did not know the scripture that he must rise again from the dead. Then the disciples went away again to their own homes. In Luke chapter 24, verse 12, Peter arose and ran to the tomb, stooping down. He saw the linen clothes lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself what had happened. Don't you wonder a little bit just what was going through their minds? They knew what they were seeing, but exactly what does this mean? How would it impact their lives? Oh, if they had any idea how this event would impact their lives and thousands who would follow them in 2,000 years that have followed. Just to get a picture of this, of the news being spread to the disciples, their excitement, their bewilderment, Peter and John leading the charge to the tomb, John looking in and Peter saying, get out of the way. And he goes in first and he looks. And just the amazement of what has happened and what was going on. This is the story. This is the Bible story. And it was one that was so powerful that it's still being told today. A lesson that was so powerful, a story that was so powerful that the angel said to Mary and to the women, go and tell the disciples. Go quickly. And they ran to tell the disciples. What else could they do? You can only imagine the excitement with which they ran, falling over themselves, trying to get to Peter and to John and to the other apostles and to the disciples that were gathered together, saying, he is risen. What are you saying? He's not there. What do you mean he's not there? The grave is empty. How do you know? I saw there are angels standing there, and the stone is moved. He's not there. I have to see for myself. Get out of the way. Can you imagine the scene? It's the disciples right now who know. And it's the disciples who are telling other disciples, he is risen. But in time, the story is going to go beyond, far beyond just the disciples. There was a message to be told. Here's the point. Here is our lesson today. There was a message to be told, and it was important. It was an urgent message. It was a life-altering message to those disciples 2,000 years ago, and I'm telling you, it is just as life-altering today. And it's a message that still has to be told. Disciples today have a message to carry to the world. It's not just a message that goes to disciples. It's a message that goes to the world. And we are the ones who have responsibility to carry that message. It's the Lord who will have more to say about that. Because this is just the beginning of the story. I mean, I know. I know the story started long before. I was going to say the story started in Genesis 1, but that's not really the case either. Because even before the foundation of the world, Scripture tells us, God had a plan for the saving of man. But we have the written record of how the story unfolded. And we are taking up the story at this point with Jesus telling his disciples, go and tell the disciples. But Jesus will have more to say. And it's a message that we need to hear and that we need to listen to. Have you heard the story of Jesus? And just as importantly, have you obeyed the story of Jesus? Because Jesus is soon to say, as this story continues, he who believes and is baptized shall be saved. He who does not believe shall be condemned. Oh, I know there's more than that even. But the point is going to be made in a very emphatic way. To have a relationship with God requires on our part a response that comes by faith, faith that would lead us to obey him and to draw near to him and to do whatever he tells us we must do. Baptism becomes a part of that response. The cleansing of our sins because of his blood. We talked about that last week. And if today you find yourself in the position in need of obeying the gospel of Christ, we are hoping that you do not delay, but that you will respond today as we stand and sing.